WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Tuesday, Election Day. Also a very important day in history. If you missed me mentioning this at the top of the program this morning, today is a very important day in history, and not just because it's Election Day. It's also November 5th, the day that in 1955, Dr. Emmett L. Brown invented the flux capacitor, which is what makes time travel possible. So, we salute you, Doc Brown. We are asking that if you are heading out to vote today, because I know so many people did already vote ahead of time, early voting, mail-in voting, whatever it may be. But if you are heading out to vote today, then give us a call and let us know what it's like at your polling place. And, you know, normally by now we've heard from some people who went in and voted at 7 a.m., the fact that we haven't heard from anybody makes me wonder if either A, they're mad at me for some reason, or more likely B, they're still there. There might have been lines when they arrived to vote this morning, which would be a nice thing, right? I mean, nobody wants to wait in line, but it'd be nice if we got that kind of turnout. And so, if you are there, if you are, if you've already been, you know, just let us know, 508-996-0500. You can send app chat messages, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. You know, some people pay attention and they look and see what number they were when their ballot was entered into the machine. But we're already saying it's going to be a record turnout. That's what the Secretary of State is predicting for Massachusetts. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Say good morning. This is Rick Trapello. How are you this morning, my friend?
Good. How are you?
Good. I didn't want you to feel lonely that nobody's called in. I've been over in Sconicut Neck, and I would say that things are running very smoothly at the Fairhaven voting station. There was a line this morning just prior to opening, but the comments from everybody leaving who has voted, the lines are being processed quickly. People are happy with the parking, with the support given by the town. So here in Fairhaven, the voting process is working very nicely.
Well, that's excellent. It's great that there was people waiting, that there were already people that were excited to get out there and vote at 7 a.m.
Yeah, the line went from the front doors at the rec center around the corner. I have never seen it that busy, but there was a substantial line. But that line dissipated in probably 7:15, 7:20. And now that's just being processed, people walking in and being allowed to vote. So please, everybody, come out and vote. The town did a great job in preparing for this. We have a great town clerk, and people are smiling when they leave, and so the process is working.
Excellent. Thanks, Rick. Have a great day.
You're welcome, sir. Have a good day. Thank you.
And that's a good sign that you've got people, as Rick said, you know, leaving with a smile on their face, happy that they went out and cast a vote. Because not only does that make them feel that they're part of the process today, but that's going to keep them coming back to vote again and again. You know, it's great when you have an election that turns out a lot of people, but it's even better when those people come back to vote again, that they're not just driven by a single candidate or a single issue. And I've said this about kind of both candidates, really, that, you know, Donald Trump, when the Trump phenomenon is over one way or the other, whether it be, you know, he serves four more years or he loses and then decides, you know, he's not going to run again. And No guarantee that happens. But whatever the end of that is, yeah, you're going to have some people that will drop off because they're Trump supporters. They're not necessarily Republican voters. They might call themselves as such, but they're really just engaging because they like Donald Trump. And I'm sure there are some people that are the same way for Kamala Harris, that they don't take part in the process, but they were inspired by her being a woman, being someone of Asian and Black descent. Maybe it was, you know, the issues. Maybe it was the idea of women's rights. Maybe it was the idea of just not being Donald Trump. There's, you know, whatever the issue may be. Are those people now going to come out and vote again if the thing that they were inspired to get up and vote for or against isn't on the ballot anymore? And if it's one thing that we can look at and say this is a good sign for America, is that we're expected to get bigger numbers than an already huge election in 2020. And the more people you have engaged in the process, listen, I know that there are people who go out there and vote and don't know anything about the candidates, don't know anything about the issues. And there are folks who would prefer that those people stayed home and didn't vote, that low information voters didn't muddy up the waters. But I'm not one of those people. I think everybody that's over 18 should be registered to vote, and everybody that's registered to vote should do so. Do I have a 100% batting record, 100% batting average in all elections? No. But I'm going to guess I'm at 90, 95%. And I'm talking even the municipal elections where nobody's contested. And even if it's just going out to fill out a ballot for all incumbents with nobody running against them, I'd still be there. Even on those fire district elections, I'd still go. You know, I'm voting for the water commissioner. There's nobody else running. That's it. That's the only race. Still go. Because that's kind of the deal that you have. As someone who gets to enjoy the freedoms of America, you have to go exercise the right that keeps those freedoms for you. So that's why I posted a picture this morning and said, don't care who you vote for, just go vote. Just like, you know, I don't care who wins on Thanksgiving. I just care that there's a football game. Might not be the best analogy. But get out there, vote. And if you are somebody who's like, you know what, I don't like either candidate, that's okay. There's other options on the ballot. You can write somebody in. But there's plenty going on down ballot that you could take part in. We have a U.S. Senate race. John Deaton, Liz Warren. For those of you in the district, we have Dan Sullivan, who you heard with Chris, running against Bill Keating in Congress. We have some contested races in the Massachusetts House. We have a Massachusetts Senate race in the Taunton-Wareham area. We have a surprising race for Susan Williams Gifford's seat in, what's that, the second Plymouth? Where everybody thought John Gaske was going to be automatic because he defeated the late Susan Williams Gifford in the primary, and that was supposed to be an easy walk into that job for him because there was nobody running for the Democrats. Well, Sarah Hewins threw her name in the ring as a writing candidate and made some serious noise. I don't know what the final result will be, but there's a lot of, she pulled something, and she's run, she's been a candidate before for different offices. She's on, I believe, the Carver Select Board. But I see more Sarah Hewins signs than anything. So there are these down ballot races that, depending on where you live, you can have an effect on. And then, of course, the Massachusetts questions. Should the auditor be able to audit the legislature? I think that's going to pass overwhelmingly. I think it's going to be everybody in Massachusetts who votes to the people who are in the Massachusetts legislature. That's going to be your final number. Then you've got, you know, questions about the MCAS. You've got questions about the psychedelics. You've got questions about the Uber, Lyft unionization. And it's, by the way, that's not for them to form a union. That's for them to have the right to form a union. So even if you are not a union fan, even if you are somebody who doesn't support Uber or Lyft, or doesn't utilize them, it's just about them having the right to do so if they want to. And then, of course, the one that has gotten a lot of coverage here on WBSM, because we know that you, the audience, cares about going out to eat. We know that because that's what it's what you read for the content we put out. It's what you call about when I talk about it on the air. And so we know that it matters to you. It's also a place where so many of your friends and family, and maybe you yourself, work is in the restaurant environment because it's a huge part of our local economy. And as I was saying earlier in the program, I think there needs to be a fix for the disparity between what the wait staff brings in a lot of places and what the kitchen staff brings in, but this is not that fix. A better fix is for the the owner to say, okay, servers, we'd like you to give 10% of the tips that you make to the kitchen staff, and then we'll divide that up amongst them. Because, yeah, if you work in a diner like I did, it can be hit or miss. You know, I was making $80 a day. You know, getting $10 an hour, doing an 8-hour day. I was getting $80 a day. My ex-wife would be out front as a server. She'd come home with $200 and worked less hours than I did. Now, granted, that benefited me because, you know, part of the same family, but still. Like, that kind of disparity exists. But also, I have friends that work in much higher-end places where the cooks are getting minimum wage, or maybe they're getting $20 an hour. They're leaving with $150, $160 earned on the day before taxes. And the server is walking out of there with $300 or $400. For one day. And by the way, they're not paying taxes on all that. I don't think I've ever known a server that claimed all their tips. So they're going to make 3-4 times as much as the kitchen staff and not pay taxes? Or as much taxes? Come on. So yeah, the system is broken. There's a problem with that system. There's a disparity with that system. But question five is not the way to fix that. That's just going to cost more money from the restaurant owners, which is going to cost you more money when you go out to eat, and it's not going to fix the problem. And also, the servers who have been concerned about their tips, if this question passes, I think they're being paranoid about it unnecessarily, because what's going to really happen is if it does pass, restaurants are going to raise prices, maybe not right away, but you know, within 6 months to a year, you're going to see those prices go up of this going into being enacted. You're going to see the prices go up, which means your bill's going to go up. You're still going to tip 15, 20% on that bill, which is now going to be 15, 20% of a higher figure. So the server is now going to get 20% of a higher figure in addition to getting minimum wage, full minimum wage. So now the disparity between the kitchen staff and the wait staff has grown even more in what they're bringing home. So it doesn't solve the problem. The problem isn't that servers aren't making a livable wage. For the most part, they're making enough to survive or they wouldn't be doing it. So you don't need to step in and interfere with that. If you want to fight for somebody and fight for equality in the restaurant business, the equality is a more equal distribution of the gratuity. But that takes a re-education of the customer as well to realize, what are you tipping for? Are you tipping just for great service? Or are you tipping for the overall experience? Are you just tipping because you're supposed to leave 20% of the bill? I always say, if you got 20% from me, you were probably not that great. Because I would always tip well over that. But I'm also tipping for service. But also, I'm going to just tip 20% anyway. The takeout thing is weird to me, though. The fact that takeout restaurants, you know, if I'm getting something to go, if I get something to go from the 99, for example, which I do every once in a while, they have an automatic tip option to select. You can select 15%, 20%, 25%, 30%, whatever it is. And it defaults to 20%. Why am I giving 20% tip for somebody to hand me a bag? I get it. Somebody packaged it up and I don't, you have to put that you want utensils because it's Fairhaven. You have to ask for them. And I never do because we have utensils here. So they're literally just taking the container of food, putting it in the bag, putting my receipt on it, stapling it. And you're getting 4 or $5 for that? Now I give it because most of the time that I'm ordering food, there's nobody in the restaurant. But still, we have a very imbalanced system when it comes to tips that needs to be analyzed and looked at and reconfigured. But question five is not the way to do it. You need something, first of all, that's going to make it easier to operate a restaurant, not harder, because there's enough challenges there as it is. And you need something that's going to make all of the staff happy to be there, not further the divide between front of house and back of house. Let me know, what's it like where you are out voting? Yesterday, I saw that there was a group of people, Trump supporters, standing here at the end of Sconicut Neck Road. I don't know why they were out there in the dark after the sun went down, but they were. So if you see, you know, some of these groups of people out there, you can report that to us. Let us know. I got to take a break. I see Mary's calling in. I'll tell you what. I'll take the call real quick before I got to go to the break. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Yeah, good morning. You got to take me real quick. You have to, because I'm already pissed off.
Okay.
Who the hell ever determined that you have to leave 20% tip on the bill? Are they going to arrest you if you don't?
No, but you might not get good service the next time you go in there.
Who cares? You don't belong in the restaurant. It's all garbage. And Johnny One Note, he's a commie, too. That's why he votes for Harris. He's a son of the demon, too. Son of the demon devil.
That's
voting against his own country. Voting for the good
of his own country. That's a pretty nasty thing to say about another person.
Yes, it is. Don't I have the freedom to say it?
No, you don't. You're not going to say things like that about people here on the show.
Why? He's a communist.
Because that's rude and it's ignorant.
No, it's not rude. If you say bad things about people that vote for Trump, isn't that not rude, too?
What did I say bad about people that vote for Trump? What did he say that's bad about people that vote for Trump?
Come on. No.
No, nobody called somebody a son of a demon like you just did.
That's right. Anybody that goes against his own country, you know why he's doing that? Because he never had anybody in his own family fight in a war like I have. That means
you don't
that
know
my
that.
Family fought for nothing. My family put their life on the line for us to have our freedoms, and the Democrats want to take that freedom
they
away.
They put their life on the line for people to be able to vote for whoever they want to vote for.
I'm sorry, Mr. Weisberg. Have a good day.
All right. It's the most asinine thing I've ever heard. You don't know anything about Johnny One Note. A man who, by the way, defeated cancer. And you're just going to make broad assumptions about him because you don't like who he's voting for. That's the Donald Trump voter. That's the problem. Caller, hang on. I got to take this break. I promise we will get to you. We will be right back. All right, I got to go into the news, but before I do, I'm going to squeeze this call in. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
So this is my question is more about question number five.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am from Florida, and how that relates is when I worked at public supermarkets in high school, we had people that would take your groceries out to the cars for the customers, and they were paid the same minimum wage as everybody else. And they said because they made the same wage, tipping was not, they wouldn't allow tipping. So if you raise the rates of the staff workers at the restaurants and servers to minimum wage, you guys are talking like you're assuming that people still tip. But if they're making the same wage, so you think a lot of people, because I would believe I won't be tipping anymore if they're making the same wages as the cooks or everybody else.
And I think some people feel that way, but I think for the most part, people wouldn't. I think because people want to guarantee the good service and they want to reward the good service. So I think people would still tip. They might not tip as much, but I think they would still tip.
Okay, because I mean, I feel the same way, but it's just, you know, if they're making the same wage, they don't come to my work on the holidays at the meat market when they want their prime rib or their special cut meats, give me a tip. And we're not allowed to accept it as well because we make, the same minimum wage.
You know what I can relate it to is look at the people that work at Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' workers make minimum wage or better. In some cases, they're paying people $20 an hour to go work at Dunkin', and people are still giving them a tip when they get their coffee.
Which is crazy because you don't pay somebody at McDonald's a tip to pour you a soda.
I know. I don't understand why we tip some and not others. I've never understood the etiquette of who to tip and who not to.
Okay, good. And by the way, Dartmouth was just walk in and walk out. Great experience this morning.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you for the info.
All right. Very good. Have a great day, Tim.
You too. And we'll take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. But right now, let's get the latest from Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Eyes on security as voters head to the polls. Sean Diddy Combs wants to silence witnesses. And daylight saving time isn't just messing up humans.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
It's election day, and the head of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency is confident it'll be secure, Brian Shook reports.
Jen Easterly, who heads CISA, said in a press call Monday, the election community has never been better prepared to deliver safe, secure, free, and fair elections. Her remarks come after several issues, including attempts to destroy several ballot drop-off boxes and at least one low-level hacking attempt. She said the agency has observed what she called small-scale incidents that have resulted in no significant impact to election infrastructure. I'm Brian Shook.
A Monmouth University poll showing that a majority of voters trust the electoral count. Lisa G. with details on that.
Susan Lerner, executive director of the nonpartisan watchdog Common Cause New York, says New Yorkers should remember human beings are administering elections, and if there are human errors, the process is set up to detect them.
Our election administrators are expected to follow the law, and if they follow the law, things will come out okay.
According to the university poll conducted in mid-October, 66% of voters are at least somewhat confident in a fair and accurate election. Lisa G., NBC News Radio, New York.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. telling his supporters not to vote for him. Lisa Taylor with the details.
In a final note to voters on the day before the election, the ex-independent candidate has been campaigning for former President Trump. Kennedy said in a video posted on X, "Let's get President Trump back in the White House and me to Washington. He'll appear on the ballot in Michigan and in Wisconsin." I'm Lisa Taylor.
A couple of days after his death, famed songwriter, record producer, and performer Quincy Jones is being remembered for his contributions to entertainment. The 28-time Grammy winner passed away Sunday at his home in Bel Air, California at 91. He was widely considered to be one of the most influential jazz artists of the 20th century and produced for many other artists, most notably Michael Jackson, including a collaboration with Michael and Lionel Richie on the 1985 charity single We Are the World. A gag order to stop potential witness statements outside of court is being requested by Sean Diddy Combs' lawyers. The music and business mogul's legal team filed documents Sunday, citing grand jury witness Courtney Burgess in particular, who's given multiple interviews recently. Multiple news outlets report Burgess's attorney said he's testifying because he's seen lewd videos of Diddy and his friends. And for your pets, standard time isn't feeling so standard. Lucinda Kay explains.
Anytime you're a creature of habit, changes to routine can rattle your well-being, and that includes dogs. Veterinarians say dogs are extra sensitive to our two time changes. Their rhythm is synced to sunrise and sunset, and so standard time isn't so standard yet. Bedtime, mealtime, and walk time are all at different times. Your pup might show signs of anxiety like pacing, whining, or being more clingy than usual. Try to introduce the time change gradually, which means you may have to rise earlier than normal, and offer your pets some extra TLC. I'm Lucinda Kay.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics beat the Atlanta Hawks 123-93. Next up, Golden State Warriors visit TD Garden on Wednesday. Boston Bruins welcome the Calgary Flames the next night, and the Patriots head to Chicago to play the Bears on Sunday.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
We're looking at a warm election day. Temperatures around 70 degrees at the peak. Clouds and sun and breezy. Wednesday, even warmer. Temperatures in the mid-70s. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM.
If you could only see the way she loves me, then maybe you would understand why I feel this way about our love and what I must do. If you could only see how blue her eyes can be when she says, when she says she loves me.
And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But I know it is election day. You're probably not even thinking about the fact that we're, what, a month and a half away from, a month and 20 days away from Christmas. It's already that time of year. And you know what else it's time for? Edenville's beloved Festival of Lights. They're opening back up for the season this Friday. And the Festival of Lights is back. You'll be able to immerse yourself in the thousands of holiday lights that you've come to love and experience new attractions like the Christmas Market, steam trains, vintage amusement rides, visits with Santa, and shopping from local businesses and crafters. Edenville offers something for everyone. And when you're ready to refuel, you can indulge in some tasty treats and snacks from food stands throughout the park. Got to remind you, Edenville has some of the best fried dough anywhere. Tickets start as low as $12.95 a person and will sell out fast, so get yours now at edenville.com. And, of course, you can enter to win a family four-pack of tickets right now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, thanks to Stevie's Wine and Spirits. But also a new thing they're adding at Edenville this season. Now, they're going to bring back, they're bringing back their North Pole Express ride and some of the other special train rides that they've done in the past. But what they also are adding is horse-drawn carriage rides that you can add on to your Edenville experience as well. So even though they've been bringing it back to the Edaville that we know and love, knew and loved as kids, they're also adding new things all the time as well. So go to Edaville.com for more information and to get your tickets now. And to call me, 508-996-0500. We were talking about question five. Jeff in New Bedford says, at the restaurant I used to work at, takeout tips were split up and given to the kitchen staff. Well, that's a good plan. That's a good idea. I like that idea. And Dave in New Bedford says, I used to stop at the Dunkin' Donuts Burger King rest stop on Route 24. Both served breakfast. People tipped the Dunkin' Donuts servers. No one tipped the Burger King servers. Basically the same service. I wonder why. Well, you know why? You know why a big part of that might be? Two reasons. One, Dunkin' has the cup out for people to collect tips. Most of the time, you know, the fast food places won't allow that. But if they do allow it and they do put that out, how many people actually think to tip? But we're naturally ingrained. It's ingrained in us. If somebody makes your coffee the way that you want it, you give them a tip. And people are so particular about their Dunkin' coffee and the Dunkin' that they go to get it that they will shell out a couple of extra bucks for that coffee. They will give a tip. So basically what it is, oh, when I go to this one, they always screw up my coffee. But when I go to this one, they make it exactly like I want it. Or this person always makes it exactly like I want it. So they're going to give that person a dollar. So, and all they're doing is making the coffee the way they're supposed to because that's what you ordered and what they're getting paid $20 an hour for. So you're really tipping them for good service, or you're tipping them based on the ineptitude of the other person that made your coffee that didn't do it right. Seems kind of imbalanced. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yeah, good morning. You know, in the past few days, I've tried to engage a couple of people on their vote in civil conversation. And I just said, you know, why not Trump? And they go, I can't stand him. And I go, well, we know Harris has been in office. It's just not a vote for Harris. It's just a vote against Trump. And I think it's pretty sad because I believe that a lot of their policies have definitely harmed this country, and I can understand that you don't love your family or your kids, you know, more than you hate Trump, and it just baffles my mind. That's why you would vote for somebody.
Well, I don't think that that's a fair equivalency to make, because just because somebody doesn't like Donald Trump doesn't mean they don't love their family.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, don't you think you put your, my point is, wouldn't you put your family ahead of your personal feelings if it's going to affect them?
But what if they don't think that it will affect them? What if they?
Well, that's the problem. Well, I think that's the problem. I think it doesn't, but it does. It will. I mean, I think a lot of these people, I think I've said before, my number one is their policy on illegal immigration. And I guess if your school or your police department, your hospitals haven't been affected, I mean, some people don't even think that's real. I've asked them, well, I don't believe them numbers. And how do you argue that? You can't. It's like flat earthers. It boggles my mind to say you don't believe that many people are coming to the country. And a lot of people don't. You know, they're listening to all the mainstream media, and all the mainstream media does is shield this candidate who's highly unqualified for the job. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Okay. Well, if you don't want to have a discussion about it, what I would have said was, first of all, she is qualified. All right. Secondly, she's been the vice president for 4 years. That makes her qualified. That makes her just as qualified as Donald Trump was when he was elected. More qualified than Donald Trump was when he was elected in 2016. He had no qualifications to be the president of the United States, but people still voted for him. And now those same people that voted for him are now saying, well, she doesn't have the qualifications, when she's been elected to office many, many times. And then the other part of that is, I don't think that caller is upset about the fact that they're voting against Donald Trump because they don't like him. I think he's more upset that they're not voting the way that he wants them to. People can vote for whatever reason they want, and not liking Donald Trump is just as good of a reason as any other one to vote. Because it sounds to me like you just don't like Kamala Harris. because you're not being fair to her as a person if you're saying she's unqualified. That means that you just don't like her and you don't actually know anything about her, or you're not bothering to learn. She has won more elections voted on by people than Donald Trump has. She has been a more successful candidate throughout her political career than Donald Trump has been. So yes, she is experienced. She has the experience to be president of the United States. Just as much as he had in 2016, if not more. So it's okay if you don't want to vote for her. It's okay if you don't want to vote for him. But just be honest with yourself as to your reasons why. Listen, after today, I don't want to hear, just lay it all out. I don't want to hear any more false approaches to the way, just be honest about it. And whatever your reason may be, and I'm not picking on that caller and saying, you know, that these are his reasons. But if you don't want to vote for her because you don't want to vote for a woman, just say it. If you don't want to vote for Donald Trump because you don't want to vote for a bully, just say that. Just be honest about it, because this whole hiding behind, well, this and this and this, it actually makes you sound dumber than you think that it does. You think it makes you sound like you're a more thoughtful person. It actually makes you seem more insincere and disingenuous. Just be honest with why you're not going to vote for somebody. And if people are saying, I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump because I don't like him, fine. If people say, I'm not going to vote for Kamala Harris because I don't like her, fine. You still have that right to do it. When I was a kid, I didn't like Pepsi. But I didn't tell somebody that wanted to drink Pepsi, why do you hate your family? Because you buy Pepsi. Why would you feed Pepsi to your family? I just said, okay, that person likes Pepsi, I like Coke. I'm probably not going to go over to their house and have a soda. But it doesn't really affect my life any if they like Pepsi while I like Coke. I got to take a break. We'll be right back. Callers, hang on. We will get to you. We'll be back in just a few moments. Still have one more break I got to take this hour, and it's kind of a lengthy one, so I'm going to try and lightning round these calls. So I need you to make your point very quickly. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. You know, I have to disagree, because Kamala Harris, she has no policy. That's why she's not qualified. She doesn't talk about any policies, what she's going to do. She just talks in her word salads. She says nothing. She talks, but she says nothing. And all she's talked more about is Donald Trump and what she's going to do. Well, so in my opinion, she's unqualified because she has no policies. She's not going to do anything.
First of all of her policies are on her website. It's very in-depth. You can read it. But also,
well,
I'm tired of this.
Website. Why can't she talk about them when she's speaking? She doesn't speak
Fair point. But she does have policies. And the other thing, I'm tired of hearing people accuse her of this word salad thing. Nobody's more of a word salad shooter than Donald Trump. Half of the stuff that he says doesn't make any sense. It's just rambling. But people are going
to
support that.
Maybe it doesn't make sense to you because you're a liberal.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me because it's nonsense.
Liberalism is a mental disorder. So maybe it doesn't.
All right, there you go. Yep. So there goes your chance to have your opinion heard now, because you wanted to be stupid about it. You want to, the disorder is to turn around Howie's stupid phrase, Trump derangement syndrome, because all you people that are voting for Trump are deranged. You're so in love with the guy that you can't see that he's an idiot. He's a dope and he doesn't make any sense when he talks. He's a rambling old fool and doesn't make any sense. He performed fellatio on a microphone. Which, by the way, is more proof than we have than anything that they accuse Kamala Harris of. So I don't know why that's not something that people are pointing out and talking about. I got two more calls, but I got to take this break. Let me get the break in so I get it done, and then we'll try and see if we can squeeze in the calls. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back in. We got less than 2 minutes. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tim. I'll be real quick. Listen, you know something? You had a call, or a past couple callers, actually. They said that Harris, you know, supporters, they can't, or even Harris herself, can't indicate what her policies are. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm one of those people that stands out there on the corner. I was there in Fairhaven last night, and I have the opportunity to speak to very calmly and you know to these people who are against us standing out there, people that are against Trump. And I'll talk to a couple of these people, and I simply ask them, okay, what has Harris got for policies, anything at all? And you know the first words out of any one of their mouths is, well, he is a pig, or Trump is this, or Trump is that. Do you want to know something? There isn't one Harris supporter out there. The country is full of Trump haters, and that's a fact. And
oh, you're talking to a Harris supporter right here.
You're a Trump hater.
The two things are not independent of each other. Well, the two things are independent of each other.
She has nothing to support, Tim. She hasn't got the policy. You say she's got it on her website. I can tell you right now, she's got it on her website. She doesn't know what it is because she can't talk about it.